You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? All right, hold on. Here we go.
What's going on? This is a My Aggie Nation podcast. We're in. It's a little echoing here because we're not here. We're there. There being the Aggie Softball Complex, most notably the visitors' locker room. Over to my left is Fred Rogers lookalike Zach Taylor. Across from us is the friend of the show, the friend of the podcast this time of year, Texas A&M outfielder Keely Milligan. Keely, what's going on?
I'm just hanging out today, trying to wake up.
I woke up to go see that super moon eclipse. Not worth it. But we have a softball season coming up. How are things kind of shaping up, squaring away? What carryover do you feel like y'all have this season from all the good things y'all did last year?
I think a big one is confidence. We're definitely very confident. We have a lot of faith in our pitching staff. We know we can hit off of any pitcher in the country. We have that type of experience going into postseason now. We know how to win in postseason, and that's a really big part of it, is just knowing how to win there. And so we're just really anxious to get back on the field.
By the way, I was up at 4 o'clock this morning, so I got both of y'all beat. But, you know, it happens. I also get off a little bit earlier than y'all do, too, so that's always nice. Keely, obviously, with the offseason, been doing a lot of stuff. I know you've been very active as far as your health, getting in shape and things, and just really putting together a strong off season. So how has that gone so far? And now that you're getting ready, is it one of those deals you have to kind of pull back on the reins a little bit, or do you continue to just try and train the same way that you were during the off season?
For me personally, I'm definitely not trying to. I'm just trying to maintain at this point where I am right now, because season's long, so I kind of need that type of energy. So I'm trying to train myself again to kind of eat at a surplus of calories a little bit now instead of attempting to lose weight. But I'm just pretty much all out at this point. I'm not leaving anything left on the table and no card unturned. So I'm really excited about this year, because I know that I've done everything I can to give myself an opportunity to have a really successful season. So I'm pretty much at this point just all out, staying after practice, hitting, taking all the reps I possibly can, just getting ready.
Do you still see your game as the same kind of game, or what have you maybe added or changed?
I can definitely swing away a little more now, a little more effectively for sure, but the soft slap and bunt game is even more mine now than it was in previous years. So I'll be able to incorporate everything that I've had before more effectively this year.
Now you've got Keely Milligan, power hitter, coming up to the plate and jacking him over the fence, calling her shot, all kinds of stuff. You guys have a lot of preseason accolades. I know a lot of different polls have y'all ranked in the top 10. So coming in, do you like that kind of added pressure, or would you rather y'all just kind of flying under the radar at the start of the season?
It doesn't matter either way, because we're going to basically approach the season in the same exact way no matter what. But we're used to being a team who doesn't fly under the radar at this point. So it's just an everyday thing for us to come out and play being number 6 in the country, because basically every single time we come out on the weekend, we're going to play a top-ranked team. So we have to take the same approach to the game either way.
A lot of players returning from last year, a pretty significant amount. Are there any new faces that A&M softball fans should kind of start looking out for in this lineup this year?
We have a lot of people who have the opportunity to break into the lineup right now. Like, there's a lot of depth at different positions. And I think she's not a freshman, but she's a sophomore. There's a couple. I think Kelby Fortenberry and Blake Amferich really have the opportunity to come in and be big players for us. So I think that either of those two girls could come in and start for us every day. And they're great ball players, and they've worked really hard for it.
With the amount of players that you have coming back, obviously you guys have the experience of last year going to Oklahoma City. Do y'all talk about that amongst yourselves much, saying, hey, we made it all the way to the World Series last year, let's go even deeper this year? Or is it kind of a game-by-game, week-by-week kind of outlook?
It's basically, we've tried to flush last season, because Coach, she said this yesterday, that you can't hang your hat on last season, and what we did last season is going to help us this season. So we're just trying to we're trying to take that confidence, of course, into this coming up season, but working on still striving for perfection, because there are definitely some loose ends that we could tie up and things that we can obviously get better at. So we're focusing on those little things.
Is it a little bit of comfort getting ready for the season, having a couple games back here still at the Aggie Softball Complex before you move over to the new place, kind of able to get ready for the season in that same routine?
I think so, because it's just a familiar place. So we haven't been here yet at this new stadium. I haven't even been able to walk over there and see it yet. So I think going and playing in it for the first time would be probably like one of my first times to actually even go over there. So I think just playing somewhere where I've played a lot before is, of course, something that's going to make me more comfortable and everyone else.
That was kind of took my next question as far as how much would you like to fast forward to March so you guys are actually playing in that thing, fingers crossed. And also looking at it from an outlook for the program, what can that mean to the program, you guys moving forward, having a facility like that?
I think at this point, everybody's ready to be in the new stadium. So as soon as it can get here, we're excited for it and we're ready. But I've said before that I really enjoyed playing in the old stadium as well, because I committed to A&M for more than just facilities. So plus there's a lot of history here and a lot of great softball players that have played on this field. So I really appreciate being able to play in the old field and also get a little bit of the new field as well. But, you know, our recruiting is definitely going to get a lot better from this, because a lot of recruits now, you're recruiting really young kids. And so, you know, they're not thinking about, like, oh, well, how would this degree, you know, affect me in the future as compared to this other degree? So they don't think about that. All they see is the big flashy facilities, and they can't see the bigger picture. So with us having a big flashy facility, we're going to be able to get those little recruits that we just miss out on.
The real question, I know there's, you know, like important softball and stuff to be played, but the real question is, are there any serious pranks in the work between you and Erica Russell to start the season out?
Oh, man. She's already got a really solid one up her sleeve for a different player on the team, and I can't even say who or what yet.
can't break that news yet?
I can't. But, you know, I don't really plan a whole lot of anything. I'm just like an impromptu type of person. I just, the opportunity presents itself, and I jump on it. So we'll see. I'm sure it'll start real soon.
I think I'd be also remiss, since we're talking about some off-the-field type stuff, if I didn't ask about the ghost situation at your house. Am I wrong on this? Did your cat not see a ghost?
Oh, the ghost. Okay. Oh, my God.
Right.
No.
I wanted to make sure that because I didn't know. She was looking at me like,
no,
I had no,
the ghost.
No
yes.
idea what this guy's talking about.
There's a ghost. It's following me around for real. There actually is, like, an actual ghost. Okay, so Inviter, I woke up to a baby crying, and I like got dressed in everything, walked out, no one was home, and I like got dressed in the morning so I could specifically go out and see this baby. So I come back to College Station the next day, and it's like 1:30 in the morning, and there's a baby crying again. And then all of a sudden my cat won't start stopped coming in my room. He wouldn't eat anything. So he just, like, he would come in and he'd sit, like, in the threshold of my door and just stare into my room. Wouldn't come in. So we got my roommate's cat and we brought her in there. And as soon as she came in my room, she freaked out, scratched my roommate, jumped out of her arms. Yeah.
So how do you rectify this situation?
I've pretty much just been doing it the old-fashioned way and ignoring it.
Solid.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out how to perform a seance, but I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I'm not that qualified.
You haven't found that YouTube video yet?
No.
Awesome. Well, I think we need to get Keely over to her workout. Keely, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. Well, first off, here's my last question for you. Since we've last talked, both Zach and I have played. No, not Zach. Just me has played competitive slow pitch softball with one Evan Roberts. How good do you think he is actually at softball?
I think he's probably god awful. I'm just looking at his face, and it's just that's the first two words that come to mind.
God, well, I would give him a little bit more credit than that. Just
nah,
a little.
He's probably okay.
Just
at
a little
slow pitch.
I'm in the diving cage.
I've seen you in the cages swinging.
I'm a defensive guy.
Actually, hold on. You designated hit like the majority of the season. Because you just didn't want to run.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Not good.
Okay,
he's
well.
He's a designated hitter, y'all struggling.
Yeah, yeah. We were definitely, definitely struggling. Anyway, well, that's all the time we have, Keely. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure we'll be checking back in several times this season as the Aggie softball team gets up and running on their season. We'll be back next with a little bit more My Aggie Nation podcast.
It's the My Aggie Nation podcast. Zach Taylor alongside Travis Brown.
Yo.
Big thanks to one Keely Milligan for joining us on the old podcast, live from the bowels of the Aggie Softball Complex. Soon to be belated Aggie Softball Complex. I'm telling you, I drove by the new stadium, I guess a couple of days ago, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a fantastic facility. Now, whether or not they'll have all the ins and outs finished by the time it's set to play ball on, I'm not quite for sure. Like, the field is almost ready. Like, the field's got grass on it. The infield dirt's there. Everything else. Craig Potts has got it on lock. But everything else surrounding it still has yet to come to formation. But they did.
Okay, ladies. Now let's get in formation.
The tallest point was put up last week, Friday, maybe?
Yes.
Something like that?
Capping ceremony or something
like
that?
Yeah, something like that. So the highest point of the structure was put up last week. So kind of a big deal.
Last Thursday.
So they got that to look forward to, which is nice. And we're looking forward to
I'm looking forward to covering games actually in a press box and not just in the stands.
Wouldn't that be crazy,
it's
huh?
It's fantastic.
I'm looking forward to calling games from a press box instead of from the stands.
Yeah. You kind of have like the little alcove area.
Well, yeah, I've got the little cubby hole.
The door to the press box.
Yeah, but the wind still whips in there. Those February games, I'm telling you, whips in there and you haven't experienced cold till you've experienced the fatal breeze at the Aggie softball complex and the little cubby next to the press box.
Weh.
But that's only if SEC Network Plus is covering the games or the SEC Network.
Well, I think all of the games are going to be on the SEC Network this year.
So there we go. Chelsea Reber will be able to be inside. I'll be outside.
Yes.
What else is new?
Yes.
But yeah, I am looking forward to the spring sports because both softball and baseball have gotten a lot of accolades coming into this season. A lot is expected from both of those teams going back to the College World Series in each respective sport. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. Plus, I just love Diamond Sports anyways. That's kind of my go-to.
I've really gotten on board with the A&M softball team because that's not a sport I've gotten to cover before. So that's pretty fun. And, you know, I'm a baseball guy. I do enjoy me some baseball, but man, those college baseball games take forever.
They do.
Softball is enjoyable because you get that baseball feel, but it only takes about 2 hours.
Now, did you see where Major League Baseball, of course, is making things go a little bit faster? We actually asked Jeff Banister this last week, a little bit what he thought about the new rules they're thinking about implementing, including a pitch clock. But Rob Manfred may have found the key to success in this. He might have just been able to open this box. The All-Star game starting in the 11th inning will now feature a runner at second base to start the inning.
Wait, say that again?
That's what they're talking about.
At the
Major
All-Star
League Baseball
game.
At the All-Star game, which is one game out of the year.
Right.
You know, forget the other 162, including postseason.
So if it goes two extra innings, they're going to do a California tiebreaker.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But big whoop-de-whoop.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it's one game. It's an exhibition game.
Right.
It makes absolutely no difference.
Right. Yeah, if they did that during the regular season, that would be stupid. But I guess
it's the dumbest thing. Also,
why don't
course,
we just play slow pitch softball instead?
I mean, why not?
Yeah,
why not? Chief Wahoo is also going away.
Yes, I did see that.
He's racist, but not racist enough to get rid of him just yet. They're going to have him around for another year so they can make sure to make some bucks off.
Well, and
of
they
it.
Can still sell merchandise with him on it in Cleveland.
You talking about for this year?
No, in perpetuity. They can still sell merch. It just can't be on the uniforms.
I did not see that part.
And it can't be on the stadium.
I did not
MLB.
See that part.
MLB.com is not going to sell any merch with it on it, but you can still buy, you know, the quote-unquote vintage merch at the stadium and in regional stores, I do believe,
well, the
in,
fact
in
that
perpetuity.
The fact that the patch is still going to be on it for a whole nother year
Farewell tour.
Just makes you, it's just weird. It's just weird. If you're that against it, if you're that up in arms about it, if you want to get rid of it, then just go ahead and do it already. Don't wait around for a year. Why do you have to wait around? There's no sense in that. No sense. So that's our Major League Baseball talk.
Yeah.
To go along with the spring sports. Obviously, basketball's in action right now.
Yes.
Texas A&M men actually won last night.
Yes.
They beat Arkansas, who was playing a pretty hot hand. Three games in a row for the Pigs.
Saw some flashes of things that A&M men's basketball needs to have any hope of any kind of postseason run. But it's still, there's still a lot of things going not so great for them. I think that the positives are you had a little bit of a resurgence of DJ Hogue from outside.
Yes.
Now, granted, that was within like a 3-minute period.
And it was in the second half.
But it was at a very key juncture that helped them put together a run that they basically didn't, that Arkansas wasn't able to come back from. So that was pretty huge. TJ Starks stepping up and having a really good game. I wrote a column about it last night on how he didn't see very many minutes in the Florida game, the second SEC game of the season, because Billy Kennedy said there was an attitude and a character problem. Well, since then, he's seen his minutes gradually increase, and so has his production up into the point where he's played 47 minutes in the last two games for the Aggies and had a career high in points last night. So, those are some of the positives you have. But some of the negatives, they started off the game very sluggish. They had, I believe, 7 turnovers in the first almost 6 minutes that equated almost 10 Arkansas points.
That was bad.
Really trying to find their stride there at the beginning. And for a team that's supposed to rebound so well, they have some stretches where they'll let 3 or 4 offensive rebounds go to the opponent in one stretch and really build some momentum back for the other team in some key situations.
Well, looking at the game overall, I have to give credit where credit is due. I think Billy Kennedy and company made a great halftime adjustment. Granted, the players still have to go out there. They have to be able to execute, and a lot of that came via the three-point, which is basically just all on the guys, but the fact that they were able to get an open shot to the basket from beyond the arc was big. But A&M kind of looked like the way they've been looking this past month or so, month and a half, in that first half, and the second half is really when they came on gangbusters. And you're talking about rebounds. They out-rebounded Arkansas 45-30 overall. Again, I will agree that there are times when it's almost like there's too many guys under the basket. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've got 3 or 4 A&M players that are fighting for it, and nobody comes up with it. It just ends up rolling out and picked up by the other team. And I've seen that once or twice this year. There have been some other things, too. Obviously, the turnovers are killer. And for some weird reason, A&M has had such a hard time, and a lot of that is on guard play, has had such a hard time limiting the turnovers. You know, you talk about TJ Starks, had a fantastic game last night, but he did have led the team with 4 turnovers. DJ Hogue also had 3 turnovers. And Hogue overall has still not been able to capture that level of play that he was having before his suspension. Mm-mm. I think it's been a lot bigger than people realize. Yeah, you can look at Admon Gilder. Yes, he's a very important player. But DJ Hogue not being able to achieve that same level of success from beyond the arc, he's your big-time shooter. He's a guy that's supposed to get you 3 points. Anytime he gets an open look, it's probably going to go in. It just has not been there for him this year, or at least in this since he's come back from suspension. 11 points last night. 9 of those came from beyond the arc, where he was 3 of 6. And he was also 2 of 2 from the free throw line. So DJ Hogue needs to get back to his level of play. You know, Admon Gilder is still trying to recover from his knee injury. But at this point, you say, look, it's either boom or bust. You don't have any time to wait around and wait for him to get healthy again. He's got to be able to produce for you right now. But that being said, it ended up being a good win for A&M last night. Would you say this has been their best win of SEC play? You only got 3 of them, right?
I think Missouri was a little bit better, because Missouri rolled in as one of the better defenses in the conference, and A&M only had 4 turnovers in that game. I think that they were able to put together a little bit more solid game. The thing, and even Billy Kennedy mentioned this last night, I'm not getting too excited about this win because the other aspect of this win for the Aggies was the fact that Arkansas is a very fast-paced team that likes to run transition. And it's, when you run transition in basketball, you also run the risk of giving the other team opportunities in transition as well. And A&M took advantage of a lot of press break and transition offensive opportunities. One of the things they've really struggled with is getting their half-court offense set up. And a lot of times you don't. A lot of times last night they weren't having to do that. They were able to make things happen in transition that isn't always going to be there. I think that they were aided by the fact that several times against Arkansas, they weren't having to run their half-court offense.
Do you think the big men have been getting neglected? Do you think they've been passed over, like the guards are looking to shoot rather than pass it down low?
I think it depends on definitely what lineup is out there. I think that's one of the things that they mentioned that has been TJ Stark's problem. That was one of the character and attitude problems, is the fact that he's been a shooter all of his life, and getting into this kind of game, he's having to learn how to be a point guard, learn how to use the whole shot clock and not just try to take the first shot or take the opportunity for himself. I think that he showed he had, I think in doing that, it's actually opened up more opportunities for him, and that's why he was able to score last night. But I think if you want to look at, well, he's out at point, yeah, that might have been a little bit of the issue. But I think, honestly, I think especially Robert Williams, but also Tyler Davis a little bit, they're getting a little bit exposed this season for not really making a whole lot of strides in their offensive game. Tyler Davis, not as much. Robert Williams, I mean, if you look at it, the only times he's really scoring are on alley-oops or dishes for dunks when they're able to kind of work the ball around. You never see Robert Williams getting the ball, you know, squaring up, facing up a defender and taking a shot. And I think that for a guy who's supposed to be so highly touted in the NBA, he has a career. If he doesn't fix that, he has a career as just a role player in the NBA coming up as a defensive guy and a shot blocker without much offensive prowess. So I don't want to say that maybe they're being neglected as much as some of their development flaws to this moment are, I think, getting exposed a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. I think defenses are also honing in because they don't think A&M can shoot from beyond the arc, which they haven't been able to do. They don't think that A&M can shoot from deep, and they've been just kind of swarming inside. They've been playing really good defense on Davis and Williams, and as you said, yeah, Robert's gone through a bit of a sophomore slump. Tyler Davis can make moves when he can, but again, Tyler is only one guy.
But the thing about that is you have two NBA caliber big men down there in the post. They should be able to do something. If you can get the ball to one of them, another one of them should be open on the, because they're going to have to draw a double and someone's going to be open. So I get that, but I don't also get that at times too. I mean, I know sometimes the double's coming from one of the guards on the outside and leaving that guy open for the outside shot, but still.
Well, you also look at last night, how often are they on the court together? Williams only played 19 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It was 7th on the team in minutes last night.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's another big part of it, too. And I don't know if that was just part of Billy Kennedy's game plan. He did go small quite a bit, put Hogue at the four. I really don't know. But A&M has a humongous test this Saturday when they're going to be welcoming South Carolina to town, because that's a Gamecocks team I think could beat anybody on any given day in the SEC. I think Frank Martin is one of the best coaches, not just in the SEC. I think he's one of the best coaches in the country. I really do. I think he's great at motivating players. So can A&M pull out a win? This is a team that they should beat at the beginning of the year. Obviously, this is a team that they should beat. Can they beat them at home? Can they have back-to-back good performances? Because they have yet to do that.
Definitely. I think that this will be a big test. I think that the outlook for the A&M basketball team is, even with the win last night, is still looking pretty bleak.
It is for
postseason chances, but who knows? You run off a string of wins and get some help from some other places. You never really know what could happen.
And there's not a lot of bad things to say about the women's game either right now, because the ladies are rolling. Kennedy sure. Carter is a beast as a freshman. Kyla Hilsman's getting it done at the five. And right now, the Aggie women's 17-5, 6-2 in SEC play. But they take on number 12, Tennessee, tomorrow night in Knoxville. That was a heck of a game when they played at Reed earlier this year.
BM in overtime.
So we'll be looking to see if they've got another wingdinger tomorrow night.
Excuse me?
A wingdinger.
Okay.
A wingdinger. Well, there we go.
There you go.
Breaking out the East Texas vocab for you.
There you go. Well, next week we'll be back with, we'll be back, and I'm just, you know, creating on the fly here, so Zach, we'll plan on air. We'll be back next week, probably on Thursday, for the My Aggie Nation podcast to go ahead and get National Signing Day out of the day, which is next Wednesday. And we'll have plenty of coverage on who A&M was able to nab on that second signing day in this new recruiting system. So look forward to that next week, most likely on a Thursday. And we'll talk a little more Texas A&M football and the future of Texas A&M football. So for Zach Taylor, I'm Travis Brown. This is the My Aggie Nation podcast, and we'll see you next week.